Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Our message tonight in 1 Kings is today's headlines. As you go with me tonight as we study, it's like you're reading today's headlines. It hasn't changed. That's the essence of what I want you to get through all this. What a mess! It is of utmost importance that we say that God is in control of this world. He really is. And He promises to take care of us. We have considered David died, Solomon died, the man of God from Judah was dead by a lion. The old prophet died and was buried next to the man of God from Judah. Abijah, Jeroboam's son, died. Jeroboam died, Rehoboam died. Such is the reality of life. All of their activities ceased and they entered eternity. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I encourage you to read the obituaries. It's the grand reality of life. Those people entered eternity. Think about it that way. They entered eternity. And what really gets you is when you read people that you know, your peers that are dying. And better yet, when people younger you are dying. We've considered the reign of Abijam over Judah. We've considered the reign of Asa over Judah. Still continuing that tonight. In our last study, we took a parenthetic detour, considering the biblical truth that the sins of the father are visited upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. And we consider the sin of David, and if we allow that to be our first generation, because there's all manner of generations overlapping. David sinned with Bathsheba, killed Uriah. His son Solomon took 1,000 women. Absalom, Solomon's half-brother, he violated David's concubines on the palace. Third generation would be Rehoboam, married to Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, who was on the roof of the palace. Rehoboam took 78 women. He tolerated homosexuality. Fourth generation, Abijam, also tolerated homosexuality. Sin was so commonplace they didn't even think about it. Well, everybody else is doing it. The proverb says, yo, they walk hand in hand. If we all held hands and marched down the street, if we're wrong, we're wrong. It doesn't matter if everybody else thinks it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And we see after Abijam, he was replaced by his brother, the fifth king to come in line. The sin of the first generation here was purged. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. David had cried out for mercy. Asa sought God. And we noted that the church at Corinth had such perversion, and it was not a good thing. Folks, we must stand for truth. Even if we stand in the distinct minority, if God's on our side, we're the majority. But it wasn't all bleak. Psalms 103:17, we read, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children. We've all stumbled along the way, and if we keep getting up, we've got some righteousness, and we'll pass it on. Our behavior today affects the future. Well, tonight, today's headlines. We're going to be continuing on in 1 Kings chapter 15. We have seen the strife and the problem among God's people, and it's so true today. As you read this, and this one sinned here, and this guy did this, and then this political move here, and this political move there, the abuse of the nation's funds, we will see that. It hasn't changed. The names have been changed, but the problems are the same. So we've seen Abijam. We saw the beginning of Asa. as he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So we're going to pick up in 1 Kings 15. Let us read 16 to 22. And there was war between Asa, the king of the southern kingdom, and Baasha, the king of the northern kingdom of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, the northern kingdom, went up against Judah, the southern kingdom, and built Ramah, that he might not suffer any to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tamburmam, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ehon, and Dan, and Albeth-Maacah, and all Chinneroth, with all the land of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard thereof, that he left off building of Ramah, and dwelt in Tirzah. That's where Jeroboam lived. Then came Asa, made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they all took away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had builded. And King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Was that confusing? Yeah, all the names. What they're doing too is you're getting parallel kingdoms in this guy and this guy, and then this king over here and then this king over here. But if you ever tried to figure out the international affairs on the news, you kind of feel the same way, huh? Well, we see here that Ramah is being built. It's being built. Now, if you remember, back in 1 Kings 12, when Jeroboam originally brought the northern kingdom into being, one of the first things he did, he built two places of worship in the northern kingdom so that the people wouldn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. Now, why should he worry about it? He was already promised by the prophet that he would get the kingdom, and if he served God, everything would be fine. But don't bother with those trifle details. I'm going to do whatever I want. So he started idol worship. And he built these two places in the northern kingdom so that he was giving them a wonderful opportunity to be able to worship. Under the guise of, "I'm helping," he was really having a political move there for his own ends. So it is. He started the idol worship in the northern kingdom. Now, what about this Ramah? Look at verse 27. Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belongeth to the Philistines. For Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Nadab is Jeroboam's son. He has now come to the throne, and he conquered some of the land of the Philistines. Basically what we would call the Gaza Strip. He did this to create a barrier, because if you look at a map, it's west. And so he, to Jerusalem to go up, if they want to come down to Jerusalem, there's a barrier there. He started to build Ramah, apparently some kind of a fortification, so the people would not have easy access to come down. So the first leader prevented them from coming by setting up idol worship. No, no, you worship here. This one is now setting up a barrier, if you will, a wall, so they can't go south and get to Jerusalem. One was by, "I'm helping you." The other one is force. I want you to think about this. The common people are losing their rights to free passage. They're losing their freedom to go to worship in Jerusalem as God ordained. Let me try to put a little bit of this into order. The first king of the northern kingdom was Jeroboam. He ruled for 22 years. The second king was Nadab. He only ruled for 2 years. He was an evil son of Jeroboam, very evil. and he was murdered by Baasha. He was the evil son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar. He murdered Nadab. In other words, it's a big family feud up there. They're fighting with each other. Who's going to be the king? Now, it's interesting that the northern kingdom, trying to keep this all in perspective, is, if you will, watching Judah, and they're seeing God is blessing them. We're going to jump over to a parallel passage. 1 and 2 Kings are paralleled by 1 and 2 Chronicles. So please go to 2 Chronicles 15:9, you have there. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. The northern king is seeing this blessing and they don't like it. Well, why don't you get right with God? Then we can both be blessed. Well, isn't it funny that spirituality never seems to be the chosen answer among men? Apparently, Ramah was a good location militarily to prevent people from travel. So Israel has gone from freedom under Solomon, yet complaining about the excessive work. Then they got into idolatry and deception under Jeroboam. Then restricted travel under Baasha, such as life. Which king do you want? Let's consider Asa's path. He had worked a great reformation in Judah, the southern kingdom. God actually delivered Ethiopia into the hands of Asa. Then Asa fears Baasha and seeks peace by negotiating with an enemy of Judah. Give me a break. Again, let us read a parallel passage to keep this in perspective. 2 Chronicles 16:7. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, and he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Is it soaking in the importance to do right before God? I hope so. This is not a game. Verse 10 of that passage, then Asa was wroth with the seer. You don't talk to me that way. And put him in a prison house. Wait a minute, isn't this the guy that brought great reformation? For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. He gathered up some other people to vent his wrath on. Here, after all of these victories in his life, he has failed miserably. Once again, do you notice what's not written in this passage? Prayer. Asa was acting on his own wisdom. I want you to think about the price that he paid to win a war. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Let's jump down to verse 18. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tamarmon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. See, Baasha had this union with Syria. They were all going to attack Judah. Well, he ships up all this silver and gold and says, now break your relationship with Baasha so he doesn't attack me. Verse 19, there's a league between me and thee and between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent unto thee a present of silver and gold. Come and break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the host which he had against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Beth-Maacah, and all Chinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. Gave away the national treasury. He gave away the treasury in the temple. Not only did he lose those items of wealth, he reduced the independence of Judah to be dependent upon Syria. He reduced the influence of Israel in the international scene. Solomon ruled everything. And what does he have? He has the southern end of this little country. These are God's people, folks. I want you to think about the treasures that Asa gave away. It was the money of the people and of the Lord. What are you doing? What are you doing? Did you ever think of prayer? Instead of getting mad at the seer, did you ever think of maybe asking him for some advice? The future of Judah is now subject to the affairs of Syria because peace was based upon money. You want to know how fragile that relationship is? As quickly as he turned the last one with Baasha. So what's Syria to do? Well, they're going to sit back and enjoy this silly feud going on between the north and the south, Israel and Judah. And if Judah has to find another friend, where are they going to get the money? They gave it all away. What are you thinking? Now Syria has the right to tell Judah how to conduct matters. Judah is no longer free to serve God as they should. Well, gee, isn't that what the northern kingdom is doing? They can't come down and worship. Judah, once the central point of the light to the world, is a spiritual disaster. The people of Israel could have been liberated, not have to worry about Syria, but they made him a friend, in quotes. Asa and Judah will be punished for this sin. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. You may do well to cut that out and put that on your refrigerator. Quote, and it is far more than inspection of an ever-vigilant observer which God throws over the concerns of creation. It is not merely that nothing can happen without the knowledge of our Maker. It is that nothing can happen without His knowledge or permission. For we must ever remember that God is the first cause and that on the first all secondary causes depend. It's all about God. It's all about God. Does the situation look hopeless? It is, earthly speaking, but with God, anything is possible. And did you know that the more dismal it looks, the more glory God's going to get out of it if you just stay faithful? Here we have this great man, now in great sin, not doing right. He is bitter. 2 Chronicles 16:12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He was bitter at God. He was bitter at life. He was bitter at the man of God. Sad to watch a man that did such good to go down. Quote, God struck him with a disease which was serious and then became critical. He turned to the physicians. There is nothing wrong in that. The point is that he didn't turn to God in all of this. It is just as important for a believer to go to God when he's sick as it is to call the doctor. Not only do I believe that, but I am walking proof that God is faithful. When it was discovered that I had cancer, I not only went to the doctor, I went to God in prayer. I didn't go to a so-called faith healer. I went to the great physician. When you get sick, there are two things you ought to do. You should call the doctor and you should call upon God. Probably the most practical writer in the New Testament said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He said two things. The first was prayer, turning to God, calling on the name of the Lord. The second was anointing the sick one with oil. Now, that was not a ceremonial act, not a religious act. It was medicinal. He was saying they should call on the Lord and call the doctor. That's practical. The difficulty with Asa was he called the doctor, but he didn't call on the Lord. It's amazing and very sobering to see a man who experienced revival, but now is not walking with God and is not living by faith. Terrible turmoil. A whole lot has been packed into these few verses. Conflict with Judah, conflict with Syria, corruption in the government, lost land. People died in these battles for what? 1 Kings 15:20, so Ben-Hadad, that's the king of Syria, hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of the hosts which he had against the cities of Israel and smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maacah and all Chinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. Do you think the people wanted all this fighting? Verse 23 of chapter 15 of Kings, the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? With all that that man did, name a city he built. Now, if you sit there and look down your list, you can find one. But we don't know it. All of these incredible endeavors and projects, who's going to remember it? Verse 24, and Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Consider the grace of God through all of this. Although Asa has sinned, the results are Baasha has abandoned Ramah. They did not block that passage to the south. God did use Asa to stop that. We also see that building supplies were secured for Asa and his people, and they built Mizpah and Geba. He did do some things that were good. Asa would have had even a greater and far more lasting blessings had he obeyed. Asa forsook God in his foreign policy, and now he has trouble with health care. Sound like today's headlines? Asa looked to the wisdom of this world rather than God. 2 Chronicles 16:12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, even when it kept getting worse. Folks, just because you get sick doesn't mean God is chastening you. But you may do well, if you do have a problem, take an inventory. Maybe you are being chastened. I don't know. Not all hardships are punishment. Then we have the reign of Nadab over Israel. 1 Kings 15:25, and Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, he's the one that started the whole northern kingdom, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, reigned over Israel only 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. Verse 27, and Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belongeth to the Philistines. For Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, did Baasha slay him and reigned in his stead. Don't you marvel that God doesn't strike these people dead? I mean, it says in the law, the Mosaic law, if you take a man's life, you're supposed to pay for it with your own life. How are they getting away with this? You mean there's corruption in the government? Is this the kind of guy you want to take the throne? He's willing to kill for it? Quote, Jeroboam reigned over Israel for 22 years and became a prime example in Scripture of an evil king. Nadab inherited his father's throne as well as his father's sinful ways. He had reigned only 2 years when a conspiracy developed that led to King Nadab being assassinated by Baasha, a man from Issachar. Nadab was with the army of Israel directing the siege at Gibbethon, a Philistine city south of Ekron. This border city had been a source of friction between Israel and the Philistines. It actually belonged to the tribe of Dan, and it was a Levitical city, and Nadab wanted to reclaim it for Israel. Gee, they're fighting over land over in the Middle East. Today's headlines, right? 29. And it came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. Let me fill in the he's. And it came to pass when he, Nadab, when he reigned, he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not to Jeroboam any that breathed until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. We're going to rewind the clock now. Go back to 1 Kings 14. Years before, 1 Kings 14:10. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone. That was the prophecy. Now consider years later. 1 Kings 15:29. It came to pass when he reigned that he smote all the house of Jeroboam. He left not one to Jeroboam, any that breathed, until he had destroyed him, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite in 1 Kings 14:10. If God said it, it will happen. You can trust the word of God. It's interesting that God fulfilled his prophecy by a wicked man. God's in control of evil. God's in control of wicked people. If God only deals and blesses perfect people, he is out of work. God is unemployed if all he has is perfect people to work with. He works with people who are seeking his face. Verse 31. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel and Tirzah, 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Quote, Baasha not only killed the king, but he seized the throne and proceeded to fulfill the prophecy of Ahijah that Jeroboam's family would be completely wiped out because of the sins Jeroboam committed. Had Jeroboam obeyed God's word, he would have enjoyed the blessing and help of the Lord. But because he sinned and caused the nation to sin, the Lord had to judge him and his descendants. That was the end of the dynasty of Jeroboam the first. Think about who suffered because of this man's sin. He sinned. His immediate family suffered. His son died, and there was great distress. The nation suffered because of poor and unstable leadership. The descendants of Jeroboam suffered due to improper training. And there were constant wars. Many innocent people were wounded or killed due to the sin of the government leaders. Many families are broken due to a loved one who's lost in battle. Many people miss the testimony that Israel was to provide to the world. Does it sound like today's headlines? Who is fighting who and why? Governments are siding with enemies for political gain and military advantages. Governments are striking deals with foreign powers, giving away the nation's reserves. Governments fail to acknowledge God on the eternal throne and the need to obey and worship Him. And these are true even today in our troubled world. Well, we'll make an alliance with these people. And then all of a sudden they break that. They go side with somebody else. Solomon said it well in Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. Here it is, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time, which was before us. There's nothing new under the sun. The problem is the sin nature of man. It is absolutely the root of all problems. If we could only get people to do right. If only we could get people to do right. Do you realize the magnitude of importance that our government leaders are godly? Do you see how these handful of kings have created a royal mess?
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.